crying. Sap was coming out from the tree. So you are crying. You must have seen Krishna. So he must be nearby. So this revealed the glory of the gopis. And this is a quality of Krishna in the rasa dance, that he was able to deal with them in such ways, particularly in this case by leaving them, that it drew out their unparalleled love. Then he returned to the rasa dance, and there was such a reunion. Narada says, it was the ultimate deluge of pure ecstasy. The happiness when they were reunited. The ultimate deluge. You understand deluge? It means huge storm. It just comes, the rain just comes crashing down and drowns everything. That's a deluge. So it was the ultimate downpour and flood of pure ecstasy when they were reunited. And then finally, after all that, he expressed his indebtedness to them. I'm not able to pay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You've worshipped me, giving up, cutting off all domestic ties which are difficult to break. And I'm not able to repay my debt. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. So these are all qualities of Krishna. And then after that, they really got into singing and dancing. And that went on for the length of time of a nighttime of Brahma. But they thought it to be a few minutes. Suddenly the sun was rising and they thought, oh, that was a short night. What happened? But it was not a short night. It was not even a normal night. It was a night of Lord Brahma. 4,320,000,000 years. But the qualities of Krishna are such in the rasa dance that it seemed like a few minutes. So then we come to the next section. The glory of the Brijbasis. Narada begins by saying, one who is greedy to drink the nectar found at Krishna's lotus feet understands the exalted position of the devotees who relish the tastes of his pastimes. Yeah. These are all very good points. One who is greedy to drink the nectar found at Krishna's lotus feet is able to understand the exalted position of the devotees who relish the tastes of his pastimes. Lord Brahma knows the greatness of the residents of Gokula, and our friend Uddhava knows the special greatness of the gopis. Both of them long for any kind of association with them. This is a verse spoken by Narada here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brahma knows the greatness of the residents of Gokula, and Uddhava knows the special greatness of the gopis. And as a result, both of them are simply hankering for any association with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So, in their respective prayers, Lord Brahma, of course he was first, He stole the cowherd boys, as we're reading in the Bhagavatam nowadays. Then he offered his prayers. And he said, I would like to take any birth in the Vrindavan forest. Any birth will do. So I can get the dust of the feet of these people, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And Uddhava said that I would like to be born as bushes, creepers, or herbs to get the dust of their feet. So, you know, it sounds very similar, but we shouldn't think that Lord Brahma and Uddhava are on the same level. Uddhava is more advanced. But still, they're both humbly praying for the same thing. Yes, so in other words, they're both appreciating the glory of the bridge buses. This is the point here. It is so amazing. Krishna is so attracted by the love of his friends that, for example, in this Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Lord Brahma comes and apologizes and begs forgiveness, then according to Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna was thinking, where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are these words which he keeps on speaking? I'm busy looking for my calves. I'm just a cowherd boy. I don't understand this. So Krishna, in other words, is so captured, so enamored by the love, by the glories of the bridge buses. He doesn't. He's not even interested in Brahma. In fact, he thinks to himself that I wish he would go away quickly so I can get back to my friends and my important business of taking prasadam with my friends and herding the calves. But this is Lord Brahma coming to offer his supreme prayers. That's really amazing. But Krishna, the bridge buses are so glorious. Krishna becomes so enamored that he doesn't care for Brahma. And even when someone like Narada Muni comes to visit him, Narada complains, he didn't even say hello to me. Narada came. Krishna was so involved in his pastimes, he didn't even greet Narada. And he just ignored him altogether. He says, he just ignores me for some forest dwellers who know some mantras and herbs for bewildering the mind. But that mantra, that herb, is the herb of pure love. So how can we describe the attraction that the bridge buses have for Krishna? It's so powerful that they think he's simply the son of Nanda Maharaj. And they exhibit unique symptoms like ecstasy and separation which are unseen elsewhere. So how can we describe their qualifications and their positions? And he says, they have transcended time, and thus their lotus feet are worshipable by me, the Yadavas, and the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. They transcended time. The rasa dance, those millions of years became a few minutes. What does that mean? It means they've transcended time through being so absorbed with Krishna. And then he says, well, actually, perhaps it would be more accurate to say that he was bewildered by them because he forgot his mission as an avatar, Narada says, and I had to come to remind him. That is there, just before Krishna leaves Vrindavan, right at the very end of his Vrindavan pastimes. Narada comes. Krishna doesn't even say hello to him. And Narada has to come along and just sort of strike up a conversation to catch Krishna's attention. And, you know, he wants to tell Krishna, look, you know, you've descended to kill the demons and right all the wrongs and change everything. Dharma samstapanataya. But all you're doing is you're playing around here in Vrindavan, you're killing some demons. But there's a much bigger job to be done. You've got to change the whole face of the planet. But he couldn't just walk up to Krishna and say, look, come on. Because his relationship is different. The cowherd boys, they would, you know, Krishna, when Krishna wrestles with the cowherd boys, because he loves them so much, he usually lets them win. So therefore they don't take him very seriously. You know, when it comes to being, you know, a tough guy, one of the boys. So they say to him, what sort of big man are you? You're not very strong. You always lose in all the competitions. What sort of person are you? But Narada couldn't come along and say, look, you know, you forgot. Come on. So what he did, he came, and you can read it there in the 10th canto. He, in a very subtle, diplomatic way, he reminds Krishna. He says, oh, I am sure that soon I will see you kill Kamsa. And then I will see you reign as prince in Mathura. And then later, I'm sure I'll see you build a city in Dwaraka and kill or be responsible for the killing of Jarasandha. And these are eternal pastimes. It's not like Krishna doesn't know about them. This is his standard program, so he knows. But it's become covered over. That remembrance has become covered over. And he's just become entranced by the association of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So when Narada Muni was speaking like that, then Krishna was remembering, oh yes, that's right. I meant to kill Kamsa. And the next day, Akrura came. And that was the end of the Vrindavan pastimes. And Krishna went to carry out his mission of correcting the whole situation on the planet on a bigger scale than he had been doing in Vrindavan. Yes. So, then, Narada raises the question that if this is the case, that, in other words, that Krishna is so excessively attached to the bridge busses, why does he leave? Ever? Either in the rasa dance, why does he leave them? Or why does he leave and go to Mathura? In any situation, why would he leave them at all? Why would he not just stay with them completely permanently, 24 hours a day? So he says, he does this because he wants to give them the special mercy, the greatest mercy of experiencing love in separation. And when he goes, Narada says he never goes far. He normally just hides behind the nearest tree. But because he's very tricky, they don't see him. And then he watches. And he just becomes amazed at how they become when they're in separation from him. And to just recognize this point, Uddhava, when he comes back with the message of Krishna in the 10th canto, he speaks one verse. He says to the gopis, you have rightfully claimed the privilege of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord, O most glorious gopis. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna and separation from him, you have shown me great mercy. So Uddhava feels it's the greatest mercy just to see that love and separation. So then, Narada goes on to talk something about the oneness which is there between Gokula and Goloka, because actually the main thing he wants to do here is inspire Gopakumar to go to Goloka. He's already been in Gokula, he was born there, but now we've got to get this man to go to Goloka, get him qualified, so he'll finally be able to make it instead of getting caught up in all these other places. So, Narada says that actually the same things are true about Goloka. They're hardly different. And the same process which can take you to Goloka is the same process which will bring you to the point of seeing Krishna in Gokula. So in other words, the platform of existence is the same. If you're able to go to Goloka, or if you're able to see Krishna in Gokula, then you're on, that's the same platform. But he says, Narada asks Gopakumar, how is it you're so anxious to go there and to take shelter of Gopal? Don't you know this is extremely difficult? He says, dear brother, you are certainly aware that it is very difficult to attain him, Madan Gopal. The devotional discipline that leads to achieving him is especially difficult. About this, I am totally convinced. Totally convinced. So then he starts talking about the process. That most people, if we start on the bottom level, in the human form of life, most people don't know what is good or bad for them, or how to behave. And oftentimes, those people who do behave nicely only do so because they want wealth and sense gratification in this life. He's now going step by step from the lowest level of human being, and he's going to go up to the highest. So most people don't know what's good or bad, and so they just do anything, whatever they feel like doing. Those who know what is good generally only do it because they want to get some immediate result, not because there's a deeper conviction about the value of good. Not many even want to go to the heavenly planets, and only a few of them are interested in working without fruit of result. And of those people, the selfless workers, only a few really want liberation. And of them, only a few want to render devotional service. Then of them, the devotees, those who want to become the friends of Madan Gopal, are most rare. And amongst the devotees of Madan, the friends of Madan Gopal, there are different distinctions also. But you, he says, tells Gopakumar, you should understand the process. This is what's wrong with you now. You don't understand the process. You have to understand the process and follow the process. But Narada says, I'm not fit to talk about this. And he embraces Uddhava and with extreme humility requests him, please tell us something about this. So Uddhava, now we come to the next section. Uddhava speaks for a couple of minutes. That's about all that he can manage without becoming too overwhelmed. So Uddhava bows his head low repeatedly and says, I offer my respects constantly to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda's Vraja. He put a blade of grass between his teeth, took firm hold of Narada's feet, composed himself, and spoke two verses. And that's all. So these are famous verses, 10:47-61. 10:47-61. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who are very difficult to give up. And they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. Then he starts becoming too overwhelmed, but he manages to speak one more verse, 10:47-60, the immediate previous verse. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily lustre and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to material estimation? And that's all that Uddhava could do. He finished his contribution to the discussion right there. So then Narada Muni continues, by giving some examples of how some other devotees have glorified the gopis. That's this point here. Yes. Some other devotees have glorified the gopis, and very special people. So it's not just Uddhava and it's not just Narada, but this is highly authorized. He says, first of all, that this Uddhava is the best. He is the best. And you have heard what he has said. But then he says that you should know that Rukmini could not get a trace of the gopi's good fortune. And once she almost died when Krishna joked with her, saying that he would leave her. And she glorified the gopis. Narada catches hold of his tongue and accuses it of being wicked. You are undermining my soberness. How can you do this? But then he says, all right, just carry on. So then he says, even Akrura. How
can you do this? But then he says, all right, just carry on. So then he says, even Akrura, who was an impersonalist and very hard-hearted. Well, I think we'll be reading next week how the gopis see this name, Akrura, is very interesting. Krura means cruel. And Akrura means not cruel. So the gopis, when Akrura is taking Krishna away, wow, talk about get on someone's case. So they tell him, you have this name, Akrura. Who gave you that name? So here Narada says that he was an impersonalist and very hard-hearted. An impersonalist scholar. But he, when he saw the footprint of the Lord out at Nandagram, he became so overwhelmed, and when he did, he said that these footprints are worshipped by Lord Brahma, and they are smeared by the kumkum from the breasts of the gopis. So even Akrura, he glorified the gopis. And then he said that when Krishna danced with them in the rasa dance, he wiped the perspiration from their faces, and thus his hand became fragrant smelling. So the gopis, they're very special. Even Akrura admits that. Rukmini admits that. Rukmini is extremely fortunate. She admits the glory of the gopis. Akrura was otherwise extremely unfortunate. But he recognized the glory of the gopis. Then Bhishma, when he was leaving this world, he glorified the gopis. That's there in the first canto, chapter 9, particularly in verse 40. Bhishma glorifies the gopis. How the Lord danced with them. And they became so attached to the Lord. They're such great devotees that when he left them, they imitated him. In other words, they became mad in love for him. And then then Narada says that when Krishna left Hastinapur to go back to Dwaraka, the ladies in Hastinapur, they glorified the gopis. How fortunate are these gopis? Because the Lord had so many pastimes in the forest with them, and the best we can do is stand up on the roof and look at him from a distance. That's all we can do. So how great are they? Because he danced with them and they were with him so much of the time. So the gopis, they're very special. And these are some evidences. Then Narada explains the process. Very briefly, this is the next heading. Narada explains the process for approaching Goloka, or alternatively, seeing Krishna in Gokula. Narada then embraced Gopikumar and bit his tongue. Previously he'd been just grabbing it with his fingers, if I remember correctly. Now he starts biting his tongue. You rascal, what are you doing? And he told Gopikumar, what I'm going to tell you now is just too confidential. That's why I didn't tell you in Vaikuntha. It's too confidential. It's only to be spoken in just the right company, that's all. So the three of us are here, you and me and Uddhava, so now I can talk about it. So he says that you know, what you could do, as far as the process is concerned, what you could do is go to Jagannath Puri and the Lord there will manifest a form which will satisfy you.